Welcome to Up to Date. I'm Steve Kraske, a woman's leader in a man's world. It's not easy, and today, in fact, we'll find out just how challenging it is with two women who are living and breathing that challenge every day. We'll talk to them in just a little bit. First up today, one of those men in a man's world, Missouri Senator Roy Blunt. In the wake of the breach of security at Target that resulted in compromised financial data for thousands of consumers, the senator is sponsoring a bipartisan bill that aims to help. He's also been asking questions about why a Southwest Airlines flight ended up at the wrong airport in the Branson area. Senator Roy Blunt joins me now. And Senator, it's always good to have you. Thanks for taking a few minutes.
Hey, Steve. It's good to talk to you.
Well, Senator, you're on your way up to St. Joseph, where you'll be talking about something called the Victims of Child Abuse Act. Tell us about that. What do you have in mind?
Well, Senator Coons from Delaware, a Democrat from Delaware, and I are co-sponsoring the reauthorization of this legislation. In our state and in most states, it fundamentally has been a source of strength and grants for the child advocacy centers. Steve, is a place where when kids are involved in abuse or other kinds of violence, like after the Newtown tragedy in Connecticut, this gives kids a place to go where people know what they're doing to talk to kids and get the information that they need to work with prosecutors, to work with local law enforcement. For some reason, the president and Attorney General Holder have recommended ending this program. Senator Coons and I think at the end of the day, a majority of the House and Senate won't agree with that. And I think this is a bill we can put on the president's desk, will put on the president's desk, and should put on the president's desk. Later today, I'll be at the Child Protection Center in Kansas City talking about the same thing. So this is an area where Missourians have been leaders in trying to help deal with the child abuse problems and advocate for children, and extending this law just will allow that to continue to happen in the positive ways that we've seen it happen over the past. I think this initially was passed in 1990 and has been extended every 5 years or so since then.
We're visiting with Missouri Senator Roy Blunt. Senator, I wanted to ask you about the mistaken landing at the airport in the Branson area. A Southwest Airlines flight carrying 124 passengers landed at an airport with a pretty short runway down there. What's going to happen next? Are we going to get an official report from the FAA on this, or where do we go next here?
I believe we will, Steve. I've talked to the FAA director, Mr. Huerta, about this. I talked to him about, I think, the day after this occurred, and we have these landings at the wrong airport that seems to me way too often now, and I'm wondering if there is a problem that can be dealt with. These were veteran pilots. They had, I think, one of them had only landed one other time at the Branson Airport, so they weren't pilots that landed over and over again at that airport, but any pilot should be able to land at the right airport, and that's one of the things that passengers have a right to expect to happen. I think maybe I got a little more heated about this early on because I've landed at that airport a number of times, particularly when I used to fly in and out of Branson as a state official, and the state pilots told me over and over again how difficult that airport is to land at because of where it's located.
Yeah,
and then it's only half of the runway length you need, so thank goodness no one was hurt. It does appear that this was not a air traffic control error. In fact, it appears they did everything they should have done, but a pilot error, and how a pilot error can allow that kind of thing to happen is something that I think we need to get to the bottom of. This is the second landing in just a few weeks at the wrong airport, so far without tragedy, but these things could be more tragic than just somebody's time schedule being messed up.
Hmm. Senator, different topic. Last week, you said you were deeply troubled by the bipartisan report on Benghazi that was released Wednesday by the Senate Intelligence Committee. Why were you deeply troubled by it, Senator?
Well, I was on the Intel Committee whenever that happened. We saw General Petraeus at that time, the director of the CIA, within a day or so of when it happened. The troubling thing to me was the early indications that early statements by the administration that this wasn't what it appeared to be, And then the troubling thing about this report was the continued stovepiping in the federal government.
Meaning?
General Hamm, who's responsible for the military in that area, was not aware of a CIA facility that had people in it that both could defend themselves and might have been able to defend others. But, of course, that was the facility where the last two people died several hours after the first two people died. The lack of information, the lack of information sharing was one of the things that I thought was the principal goal after 9/11, that the federal government was going to do everything it could to end. So I'm troubled by both the continued information that there was misinformation given to the public after Benghazi, the fact that the people who were there that were in Germany within 48 hours. I asked within 48 hours, what are the people in that were there that are now at Ramstein, at the hospital at Ramstein, saying? Many of those people have generally still not been available to the Congress to talk to in an oversight way, and that's troubling. And then this lack of information sharing that continues, and in this case probably had the result of at least two of the lives that were lost might not have been lost if everybody involved would have known everything they needed to know.
You know, this concern about security in Benghazi, you have to wonder, do concerns about security extend, you know, today to embassies and consulates around the globe? What do we know about the broader picture, Senator?
Well, we've made a significant investment in the last several years, the last over a decade now, in embassy security. We just had some legislation in the appropriations bill to actually have some compensation for families of people who were killed in those African embassies that were the terror targets months before what happened on 9/11, I think maybe well over a year before that. And we do need to be sure that our facilities are as secure as they could possibly be, and that the men and women who work in those facilities representing our government are secure. And if the host government is not willing to help make that happen, I think we need to seriously question whether or not we should have people there. This is, at the end of the day, security in an embassy is largely a host government responsibility. How we build a facility and help that host government secure it is our responsibility, and we need to take that very seriously. And if that host government can't do its job, probably ought to think about whether or not we probably shouldn't have people there. It's as simple as that.
Again, our guest is Missouri Senator Roy Blunt. He's traveling up to St. Joseph this morning for a news conference. He'll be back in Kansas City later on today. You know, Senator, in the wake of the Target data breach, you know, of all those debit cards, and mine was one of them, by the way, you've been working on a bipartisan bill aimed at protecting consumers from ID theft and fraud. The Data Security Act of 2014 would require financial institutions, retailers, and federal agencies to better safeguard sensitive information, investigate security breaches, and notify consumers when there's a substantial risk of ID theft. How is what you're proposing different from what the law calls for right now?
Well, the law doesn't call for much right now, Steve, not much in the way of notification. This is a bill that Senator Carper from Delaware I introduced in the last Congress. That was before you had your card, and many others have had their cards compromised in ways that we've seen get a lot more media attention than it was getting when Senator Carper and I proposed this 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But we're back with essentially the same bill, and what it does is require notification both to financial institutions as well as to the people involved. And some reporting beyond what's required now. What we don't do, and this may become an interesting part of this debate, what we don't do is try to require specific things that credit card companies have to do to protect their card. And my theory on that, and I think Senator Carper and I share this theory, is that the people that are trying to get into these networks will always be able to get ahead of the legislation. So you might actually make it more likely that somebody's information will become jeopardized and breached, as it's called, by telling what has to be in the card. We're just saying you have to make the right kind of notifications. You have to have security measures in place, and frankly, those security measures have to keep up with whatever the requirement of the time is. And
yeah, but why not put
some people say, "Well, we should, exactly." You're going to hear some people say, "Why not put a chip?"
Yeah, exactly.
And of course, the answer is, "Why not put a chip?" But is the federal government really in a position to require the chip? Because eventually, the chip or the first chip used will probably be compromised as well. In many of these technical areas, whether it's telecommunications or, in this case, credit cards then use telecommunications, the idea that the federal government can actually solve a problem in a specific way, while that problem is still a problem, is close to zero.
Yeah.
What we can do is require people to have things in place that agencies can look at and monitor, and more importantly, what this does is require the kind of notifications that currently aren't required for major breaches in data security.
You know, Senator, if I understand your proposal correctly, you guys also establish a national set of standards instead of the patchwork of laws that are now sort of the norm in the different states. How is that going to help things?
Well, I think in areas like this where a credit card company or a retailer or a financial institution is trying to comply with 50 or 51 different set of circumstances between the states and the territories and the District of Columbia, everybody is better off if they understand what needs to be done and what needs to be done everywhere. While I am generally not an advocate of federal laws preempting state laws, I think this is a case where this is clearly a nationwide problem when it occurs with all the way commerce is done now in the country, and it needs a one solution with one set of guidelines
yeah.
that need to be followed.
Just a couple of final points, Senator Blunt. You voted for the recent bipartisan budget deal. Why did you vote that way?
Well, a couple of reasons. One is it's the first time in years that many of these agencies have actually had an update based on their current priorities. One of the shocking and surprising things was for many in the country, whenever we had the line-by-line cutting a year ago because of the Budget Control Act, the so-called sequester, we brought in the military chiefs from all the military organizations, and they said, yeah, we're not for the sequester. It's a bad thing. We don't like it. And if you question them, they'd really say, well, it's really a devastating thing if you get to the end of year 10 and you haven't made the system work in a better way. But what they all said was, and you're cutting budgets that aren't even the budgets we want anymore. This is what we wanted 6 and 7 years ago. After that, we were able to get the military updated. We ag FDA, which is my appropriations committee with Senator Pryor, we got updated. But about 7 of the 12 divisions within the federal government were still working on their priorities from 7 years ago. This gets those priorities up to date, and maybe even as importantly, Steve, it gets us gives us the ability right now in January of this year to see if we couldn't, for the first time in 7 or 8 years, insist that the appropriations process work the same way. We've got almost the full amount of time you have between now and October 1, the beginning of the new spending year. So getting this appropriation out of the way, the one that began 3 months ago, and seeing if we can't have almost a demonstration project on what happens if you actually make government work the way it's supposed to, are two good reasons to move forward and, again, spent less money than otherwise would have been spent, and we still are saving the money the Budget Control Act requires. But my main goal now is to see if we can't make this process work. Yeah.
Senator, how much of that vote was
setting priorities the way it needs to be done?
Senator, how much of that vote by Republicans was about wanting to move away from government shutdowns that have hurt Republicans in the polls? Republicans really been blamed for much of that. How much of that vote was just trying to get away from all that stuff?
Well, I don't know, Steve. It had a big Republican vote in the House and the Senate, in the House rather. In the Senate, I think only about a third of the Republican members of the Senate voted for it. But I suspect most of the members of the Senate on both sides desperately wanted it to pass to get away from these politics of confrontation. Not that you don't need to have a confrontational debate about the president's health care bill, which we could talk about for 15 minutes some other time, but to have a fight about something that can't happen. You can't defund the health care by shutting down the government mm-hmm. or by not funding the discretionary spending. It's a mandatory program, and it's going to be have to dealt with in a mandatory program way. And I think this is going to be the big debate of this year, is why is it that this program won't work? And frankly, it won't work for the reasons that for 3 and 4 or 5 years you and I have talked about why this concept won't work. That's my view. You haven't always shared it, but, you know, I've always had it. I think it has some fundamental problems that make it unworkable, and we'll see. But you can't address those problems by shutting down the rest of the federal government.
Well, Senator, we're out of time. I know you're on your way up to St. Joe, and I always appreciate you taking some time with us, Senator. Thanks so much.
Good to talk to you. Look forward to seeing you again soon.
You bet, Senator. That's Missouri Senator Roy Blunt.